Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Earners, what's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right, we're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shotty, tell them what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys. So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the Home Buying Blueprint Volume 1 and Volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger.
Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUniversity.com. See you there.
All right, guys. Welcome back. Special episode.
Very New York of us.
At our home, Brooklyn Chop House.
Indeed. Shout out to Don.
Shout out to Don Poole and Marsha. I've requested that we have a menu, like, you know, they put an item,
yes,
name on the,
yes,
item.
Oh,
we've done some legendary moments here.
This is true.
This is in line.
A 40th was here.
Yeah, for sure.
That was legendary. For they sure. Kept some of the designs.
Sure. I've noticed.
That makes it even more legendary.
For sure.
Absolutely.
So today we have a very legendary moment. We're speaking to the incomparable Alicia Keys.
Hey.
Thank you for joining us.
I'm glad to be here in the Chop House with y'all.
For sure.
What should I order if I was to come here? Like
the salmon.
Salmon's incredible. He pronounces the L.
I know this.
You notice that. I would say the salmon. The crab satay is incredible. The crab rice is incredible. And there's a plethora of wontons if you're into wontons.
I heard that they will put some wonton down.
Did y'all hear that? Please, before she leaves.
Right. I think they might have said no. It's okay.
Some say
it's
salmon,
not wonton day.
Some say salmon. Some say salmon. It depends.
It's all good, but it sounds good. I'm glad to be with y'all.
This is a moment.
This is dope.
Thank you for
this
being
is
here.
Dope. So first and foremost, thank you. And I want to talk. Well, we have to start with Hell's Kitchen, right?
Congratulations, yes. First.
Oh. Big congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. So your career. You've done so many great things as far as in the world of art, music, but now to venture out into, you know, doing plays on the biggest stage possible in Broadway is something that is not a small feat, especially for somebody from our culture.
Thank
it's you. Extremely important to break down barriers and to bring this world of, you know, Broadway plays to hip hop culture, I think, mm-hmm, is extremely mm-hmm. important. And we got a chance to go to the play and is actually my first time ever going to a Broadway play ever in my life.
Come on, this is the one you need to go to. If you don't go to one.
This is the one.
No, that's a fact. And I think it was really tastefully done and really dope how it depicted like your life story through music. And as I'm watching it, I'm thinking of like other artists that I would like to see their life stories being played out as a musical, right?
So I'm gonna cut you off because it's important that it's clear that this isn't my life story. Okay. This isn't autobiographical, but this is a New York, all the New York energy and New York experiences that I've had growing up in New York is definitely infused into this story. So there are pieces that come from my experiences, but it's not like
loosely
life story.
Loosely based?
We can say, I think loosely based
loosely
is a fair
based.
Statement.
Loosely
I just
based.
Want everybody to know. But the most beautiful thing is it's our story. Like, it's everybody's story. You can relate, but please continue.
But the music ties it all in, which makes it really, really dope because it's like, I'm just kind of talking to the audience that haven't seen it yet. So
yes.
All of your classic records are placed in the storyline. So it all kind of comes together and it all makes sense.
I love that part too. Yeah. That part is really exciting. And because it's about a 17-year-old girl named Allie, who's really looking for her freedom, her independence. She's, you know, we all remember being 17 and how that felt.
Yeah.
And she's being raised by a single mother in New York in the 90s. So 90s New York, way different from, well, I don't know, it's kind of starting to reflect in some ways. So
some similarities, yeah.
You know, but, you know, 90s New York was its own specific energy, and so it was dark, it was hard. So for her to be finding her way through it and being raised up by this community that's around her, but also to find this kind of mentor in this woman who teaches her the piano, it's I just love that you can see so many sides of ourselves on that stage and so much diversity on the stage. So for those like you who said they never been to a Broadway play before, I could see why. And I think this is such a beautiful invitation that everybody belongs, you know, everybody belongs here.
I think the beautiful invitation part is exactly like how I would encompass it, right? We've seen different genres. We've seen Jersey Boys and we've seen Neil Simon. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. Then we got Motown and MJ was incredible. But there was never one from our generation, right? From our songs that we grew up listening to as teens. And it was like, oh, this is it.
Right.
So it was crazy as it was going on. I'm looking around. I'm like, this is great. And I look and I spot you.
I'm like, because I'd be there.
She's really here. But I'm watching your interactions as you're watching it. And it's like, they're nailing it. You're grooving to it. And so I started thinking, I'm like, yo, what was that like? You said loosely based. So what was it like crafting around, we should put this piece in, let's give New York a feel here. What was that creative process like for you? Because this is different, right? This isn't an album.
Right.
This isn't art.
Right.
But it is art. And,
I mean,
right, in a sense. But
a different art form.
An art form.
What, and it's a new art form.
Exactly.
Think that's what's cool. I mean, I think what's really special about this is, as a kid, you know, my mother grew up in Toledo, Ohio, moved to New York to come to NYU to study acting. So she was really always in love with theater and off-Broadway and the National Black Theater and all of these things that would be a part of my consciousness growing up as a kid. And so I got a taste of a flavor of how you can express in that way, in this more theatrical way that has a beautiful storyline and an arc that you can fall in love with the characters and all these kind of things. And I think that theater or that acting, theatrical side had definitely found its way into my music, for sure, the videos, because I think a lot of the videos that, if I think of it, If I Ain't Got You with Me and Meth, and that whole conversation about, like, when you fall in love with a guy who might be, you know, this is his lifestyle, and you end up suffering in a way because you love this person. And so that drama, that kind of theatrical storyline has always been really important to me, even with Fallen. Like, Fallen was a big storyline. So I think that it's always been infused in there, but people would always ask me, would you do a musical? And I was kind of like, oh, no, maybe. But, I would want it to be special. I want it to be different. And I think that's what makes this really unique. So the process of creating Hell's Kitchen came from feeling like, there's so many stories that I know from our world that I'm not seeing out there in the world. And this, obviously, I've been developing this for 13 years, by the way, so it's been a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 years ago, 13 years ago, television, film, for sure, theater, there's recently definitely been more focus on diversity all across the board of entertainment, I think, especially from a theater, film, television perspective. So that was what was in my head. And so that was what I wanted to put together. I grew up in this building called Manhattan Plaza. It was subsidized rent for artists. So my mother could afford it because it was $75 a month at the time.
Mm.
We would have never been able to live on 43rd Street and 10th Avenue.
$75 a month?
$75 a
That's
month.
Crazy.
Because it fluctuated depending on the artist's income. Right. If you had, like, a lot of jobs, you paid a little more. If you didn't have many, you... And so that was really special, and it was the only building of its kind. And I knew that was such a unique story. So that's kind of was the foundation of what we started to build Hell's Kitchen around. And then we put Allie, who's the lead 17-year-old,
incredible.
Malia Joy Moon, Jersey's the single mother who's really trying to raise her daughter in a hard neighborhood, Shoshana Bean, who's a monster,
incredible.
Davis is the father, who's Brandon Victor Dixon, and they, you know, they're having how to get through their relationship in a way that is it's not a normal quote unquote relationship, but Whose are?
That was a pleasant surprise.
Whose ever are?
Yeah, we saw him in Power.
Right.
And then we were like, wait, that's the dude from Power that's singing like
right.
that?
Right. He could sing.
Wow. He was good.
Yeah, he was incredible.
He's so good.
Well, let me ask you, because you bring up an interesting point. You're a native New Yorker. Affordable housing is something that's a very big topic these days.
Right.
And the rent has skyrocketed over the last decade. I think the average Manhattan rent is like close to $4,000 right now for one bedroom.
It's too much.
And a lot of those programs that you described that you grew up in have been taken away. So what's your thoughts on, you know, affordability in the city of New York?
Well, you know, it's very hard to find. I mean, in so many ways, we're just being priced out of everywhere. It's very difficult for anybody to find a quality of life, lifestyle. It's hard. I think about, you know, I hear this from so many people and so many young people just starting their careers and wanting to figure out, like, I love this city. I want to stay in this city, but I got to live like 6 hours away to be able to do anything. So it's unfortunate. It's definitely unfortunate. And I feel like this is such a great example of what can come of affordable housing.
Well, that's what I wanted, because I think you are actually an advocate almost for, because you said it was a building for artists, right?
Yeah, really. It was specifically for artists. And I think my mother explained that also they had to have 30% of people from that particular neighborhood or that currently lived in the neighborhood as well, which is also important because then people come from all over, but those in the neighborhood don't get the same opportunity. So that's something to think of. We see that in Harlem. We see that in Brooklyn, you know, so much of that regentrification.
Because it's important, because it's like, let's say, for instance, you were not able to live in that building, right? And you had to grow up in Connecticut or some other place, right? Now, you never might not have become who you became. And now you're actually contributing to the economy of the city now, right? So now it's a full circle moment.
That's a
by
fact.
You actually are somebody that had benefited from that affordable housing situation. Because a lot of times people don't have sympathy. They're like, if you can't afford to live here, then don't move here. But yeah, it's like, if we take away the artists, if we take away the creatives, if we take away people that might not have the finances to pay $4,000 a month, then we actually are hurting the whole ecosystem, right? And I think, like I said, you're actually a perfect example of that, because you're a native child who actually not only became extremely successful, but now you have a play on Broadway and now millions of dollars being generated.
That's a fact. That's such a huge point. And being able to have that experience, being able to grow up close to different creative cultural places, experiencing different styles of art forms, you know, having that access, it changes it. It changes your experience. It changes your relationship with it. It changes what you can imagine for yourself, what you could dream for yourself. I mean, you know, growing up on 10th Avenue, it was so bleak and it was so drastically different from just walking two avenues over or three avenues over that 7th or 8th, which had those Broadway lights and the life and the, you know. And so I think that that's definitely a big thing that I note a lot, like the experience, the access, the opportunity came from the access to seeing different possibilities. And so I agree. We can't box people out of the learning, of the education, of the access. Another thing Hell's Kitchen has done is we created a fellowship program to bring the young people who normally wouldn't be in the space of set design or costume design or hair design. This is my husband, and he's going to call until I pick
That's
up.
That's our guy. We interviewed him.
So, yeah.
Swiss, we're a little busy, man.
Hi. I'm doing this interview.
Some guys you might know.
Right now.
You might know these guys.
What's up, my brother? How you doing?
So we having a little earn your leisure moment. You know, he said, I like those guys. So I was talking about the fellowship that Hell's Kitchen created for people who wouldn't normally be in the space of learning about studying under the greats who do set design or hair design or costume design or lighting design, sound design, you know, and all of these pieces are the director fellow, the choreography fellow from Camille Brown, Michael Greif, who's one of the best directors, you know, ever in the Broadway space. So people get to learn under the greats, Chris Diaz, the book writer. So it's really part of what we're talking about is access. We're talking about welcoming people into spaces where we belong and giving the opportunity to learn, and so that we can diversify what we're seeing and so we can contribute back to the culture of the city. And I think that's exactly right. And that's the only way it happens when you have access like that.
Yeah. All those pieces that you spoke about are so unknown to us, right? Mm-hmm. We don't really know the creative process of how to get a show on Broadway.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the highest stage. Like, we hear it, but there is a creative process and there's a journey. You said 13 years you've been working on this.
Right.
So before you even get there, you have to know all those pieces, but you also have to start off Broadway.
Yes, definitely.
Like, what is that like from a creative standpoint? Do you have to scale down? Because when we saw it, I'm like, visually, this is incredible.
Right.
The set is incredible. The lighting is immaculate.
It is.
The choreography is great.
Amazing.
But we don't start there.
Right. No, when you start in a room. You start in a small, blank room, and you have folding chairs, and you have desks, like regular desks that you put the kids at Thanksgiving and put the tablecloth on. It's like, it is a folding chair and folding tables. And you work on the script, you work on the story, you workshop it, and you put the songs in, and you feel, how does that all work? And what I love about that process is if you can do it in a blank room with nothing and you can feel it, then you are going to, you know, you're up to something. It's the same like a song to me. Like, you can if you can perform that song just on the piano and people are like, yo, that means it's going to be something, because you could put whatever around it. You could put the biggest lights, the best projection, all of that. That's just going to enhance it, but it doesn't create the story and it doesn't, you know, create that foundation. So that's where it starts. And then, so we did years of workshopping, you know, years of 6, 7, 8, 9 years of workshopping.
What's workshopping?
Is what I'm talking about. You go in a room, you kind of try out this scene. We wrote this scene. Chris wrote it. Here's the music. You know, Michael's going to kind of loosely direct. Does this feel right? We listen to it. Now we're missing something. This song doesn't work. Whatever the case, you workshop it, chop it up, change it, fix it, adjust it back, revisions. And then after you get to a place where you feel like, okay, I have two strong acts, and I can put this thing in front of people, then you start to create the process where you meet your partners in usually you have a sponsoring theater. If you want to do it in the way that will be respected by the Broadway community, which you do, obviously, we're not just coming in here like, you know, the community has to be behind you. They have to know that you took these processes, that we're building this in a meaningful way. And so the sponsoring theater, for us, became the Public Theater, which is one of the most, you know, well-known, most respected theaters that you present it off Broadway. So the Public did Hamilton, they did A Chorus Line, they did so many. I mean, so many is too many to, they do Shakespeare in the Park, like they're super, you know, they own Joe's Pub, which is one of the first places that I ever performed ever in my life as an artist. So you kind of do see the full circle moment come around. And so with the Public, we workshopped it more, and then we were able to put it up off Broadway. That was a big moment, because when you put it up off Broadway, you learn a lot and you figure out what works.
So the Public Theater, are they the ones, the sponsored theater, excuse me, are they financing it? Are they saying, like, you can use this space and we'll figure out the back end, like, they'll sponsor it? And then from there, Broadway says, we're ready for you. Now, there's a difference?
They become partners in the production for sure. Okay. So they do, there's a portion of it that they, because they do all of the off-Broadway stuff, the way that they handle it based on all of the unions and all of the specifications, and they're a nonprofit and all of those pieces. So, but they do become a partner to the piece with you, which is great, because they give you creative ideas. It's a creative partnership as well, because these are brilliant minds who have done this work for years and years. So part of that is the partnership between myself, director, Chris, book writer, and also the Public as well.
So, like, when creating a movie, right, we kind of have been familiar with how movies are made and the revenue model behind movies, but being that plays are such a niche thing, I don't think a lot of people are even familiar with, like, how that actually works. So is it similar as far as how a movie would be fine.
Save big money on your door project right now at Menards. Update your home with beautiful Mastercraft doors. Mastercraft has been building high-quality doors for over 50 years. Design your door your way with our free step-by-step design program. Or choose from our great in-stock selection. Save big on your new door at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Dance, and you have to pay actors, and then you would hopefully get the money back on the back end through ticket sales. But movies, you can actually, you know, stream it and stuff like that. You can't really stream a play, right?
Well, it depends how you want to do it. I think there's no limit now to what's possible, and there are so many ways to have access to it. So the theater side is much more niche. I'm learning, obviously. I'm also learning a new space and a new industry, which is amazing. I think that it's something really wonderful about it. It's new for me, but intentionally we made sure that there were veterans around the process, because we want to bring all that new energy. We want to bring that new thought patterns and all of those things. At the same time, there's a tried and true way that things work that you can miss if you don't. And so there's a nice balance between kind of the veterans of the business and also these up and comers, which I consider myself in the world, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, so there's definitely, you know, the financial model, just like with any creative endeavor, you know, 90% of the things, you know, are not always going to work. You know what I mean? There's a small amount of things that really do cut through. And there's not going to be 6,000 Rihannas. Just doesn't go like that, you know? So special things take special time, and it just kind of is what it is. So, but yes, there is definitely the flow between the business of it, the raise of it, and then how all of, you know, the way that that all comes back around. And obviously, depending on the length of time and also ancillary things like touring, when these musicals tour, that's also a big thing. And certain musicals are just ready for that. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of it. There's other worlds where you might want to do offshoots like series or films based on. You can do kind of streaming moments. It all, you can kind of like make all of it come together, and it all depends on.
Well, it's like Hamilton.
I was just going to say that.
Where they went on tour.
They went on tour.
They went to London. Not and yet. Then like even The Lion King, they on cruise ships. Yeah. And then merch.
Right.
A lot of the merch.
Hamilton is blasting through my house right now. So like, it's on Disney Plus.
That's
so
they had amazing.
So like, my daughter listens to that in the shower.
She loves it.
I'm like, come on, like, this is like the eighth song now.
I'm done.
Let's be conscious about the water.
You got to bring your daughter to help.
To see it. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's incredible to watch, right? Because I'm thinking to myself, you've done amazing things in your career,
Thank you.
From the creative process, obviously, tons of awards. And it goes back to the tickets. What would measure success for this, right? I feel like this is not a passion project. It feels more like a purpose project, right? So we were able to preview it and we're like, this is incredible. I can't wait for the world to see it. I know you just debuted it last week.
Right.
Is there pressure to see the audience's reaction?
Well, listen, you know, first, I think for anything we create, you know, first you do have to have the reason why. Why are you doing it? Like, what about it is special for you? What about it is meaningful? What about it is missing in the world, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think no matter what that is, if you're creating a technology or if you're creating art, there's that connection to it because it's meaningful to you. And I think that is the most important thing. And that's what we've honored the whole time. How do we tell this story? How do we create a story of diversity? So many unique people that are in this world, especially in New York City. How do we see more of them reflected in a pure, true way, in a complex, true way? Because we're all complex. We're not just one way. There's so many different things. So that was the passion for it. And also, how do we invite people to a space that maybe they don't normally feel like they belong in? That's also a big passion of it. You know, oftentimes I tell people that I actually created this musical for my husband, for people like my husband, who he's not actually a musical person. That's not his first inclination, or he hasn't been exposed to it in a way that it feels like it reflects what he understands or what he wants to feel. And so a show like Hell's Kitchen is, it's something that it does that. It has that emotional foundation, plus it has the modernness of the way that the music and the storyline is communicated. Mm-hmm. You feel like you understand it. You want to get into it. You know people like that. You're reflective, like, yo, whatever. You know, you it's personal. Mm-hmm. It's personal. It becomes personal. So, you know, be it the theater goer who loves musical for the past 25 years, or my husband, who probably would be like, yeah, babe, let's not go see one of these other things, you know, it's opening the minds and saying this Broadway space is a place where we belong, where we can create our stories, where we can create unique stories, diverse stories, and we can be here. And so that's what makes it successful.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it successful is that people feel it. You want to create something artistic because you want people to be emotionally touched and affected. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I love that this show makes people laugh, makes people cry, makes people like make funny faces because they can't believe the voices that they hear. I love that you're not going to leave here not feeling something. And I think that that's the success. And then on top of that, to be able to be the lead producer of this endeavor is a big success. I think, again, that opens the door and shows that we belong in all these positions. You know, we belong also as the owners of our IPs and the owners of our creativity. We not, it shouldn't just belong to everybody else, you know? So I think that's a big version of success. Mm-hmm. And obviously for generations to feel connected, I think another big part of this, you can be 9, you can be 14, you can be 25, you can be 45, you can be 65, you can be 90. And you can come see this show and you're going to get it. So that's a big success, too. Like that intergenerational energy is rare. Yeah. You know, it's rare. So all of that to me is success.
I was going to add in Broadway etiquette. Like we walking in, they're like, hey, you can't go back to your seat. Yeah, you got to wait.
Right.
And like, I'm like, how's that work? Right?
I think that's part of the education because it's like, again, especially, I don't want to generalize this because there are a lot of people that do go to plays.
Yeah.
Of course.
My circle of people
might
have not traditionally gone to Broadway plays. So even it's like, you can't be late or you're not going to get in.
This is true.
Right? Well, like, you get in, but you have to wait till the first number is done. Like the first song, because obviously you don't want to walk in these people like killing it, giving it, and you like distracting everybody. So they wait until it's an appropriate time. So sometimes you miss that opening and then you they usher you in.
Be on time.
This is true.
Definitely won't be on time though.
Not a thing to be fashionably late.
No.
Please don't.
They don't even wait for me.
Yeah,
I'm like, damn.
When it stops, it's not over. The mid is just a break.
That's intermission.
Doesn't mean go home.
That's the first act.
That's intermission.
Get your refreshments.
For sure.
Now, here's another etiquette. Sure. I wanted to sing out loud, but I was recognizing the talent on stage, and I know it's their show.
Some people were.
But some people were singing out. What's the etiquette on that? Because like these songs mean something to us.
Well, we're changing the face of
there
the energy.
It is. There
so
it is.
The vibe is you definitely, I think what people are feeling, there's an electric energy. You know, there's moments where people say a line and the whole audience is like, what? You know, and there's that. So there is definitely that interaction. It does have that. You can totally sing. You should sing. I sing. I'm in there singing.
Yeah, I saw people getting up. I'm like, this is what I'm familiar with.
Right, you're like, okay. All right, I can vibe.
We vibe into this.
I can vibe. So everybody experiences it different. Some people are like much more internal and feel a little bit more shy. Some people are more a little bit more traditional. But we're definitely, you know, creating that energy. You can stand up. You're shouting at people. You can sing. You can sit. You can feel however you're going to feel.
So you write music, obviously. Did you write this?
I composed the music.
Okay.
So all of the compositions I wrote, I also created new songs for this mm-hmm. as well, which was really fun. That was the first time. And I also created the story. So I'm the creator of it.
Okay.
And also the lead producer. So those are all the hats that I'm wearing in this.
So you're working with a writing team and you're telling them your vision and they're actually writing it. Because when we interviewed Ice Cube, I was asking him about writing a movie.
Right.
And he said that for him, it was easier to write a movie than it is to write an album. Which I found that hard to believe.
Wow.
I'm like, a movie is like this. But he was just like, he explained, like, you know, the beginning, the middle, the end. And he was like, you know, he could write a movie in a week. He's like, an album might take him a year.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And he's talented. I really like Cube a lot. Yeah, so there is a book writer. There's an official book writer who's responsible for all the words that are on the page that are being recited. But he and I work together to create the arc of the story and to create the characters and who's important and who's special and why and what's it grounded in and what are we really feeling. And Michael Greif, who's the director, is a big part of that too. He's kind of like directing kind of emotionally the arc, how we have to get them to buy into this kind of emotion so that when we come around later, we see Allie. She's quite agitated. She's irritated at her mother. She feels like she's holding her back. And ultimately at the end, we see that this love story between them is what's the most dependable of all things. And you have to kind of go through this rocky part to discover who's there for you, you know? Michael was also really good at storytelling and how do we really bring that emotion out. So it's really a team effort, but that's kind of how it all flows together.
I'm happy you said that. When that show ended, and this is how you know it's a great show, I'm like, we need more.
Right, I'm
like,
ready.
I'm like,
what's next?
We need more. Like, is there another act? This part two, it's incredible. I'll talk about the music a little bit because Kaleidoscope is one of the pieces in the play. I'm like, this is a great record. Then I watched the video.
Yes.
And I'm like, I had to ask. I'm like, that's Hell's Kitchen. Because right. I remember Hell's Kitchen growing up in the 90s. Like, the only time I ever heard of Hell's Kitchen was in the movie Sleepers.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, really? Okay. You remember that movie?
I didn't really put that together.
Yeah, so I'm like, and then you came and it was like, oh, she's from Hell's Kitchen.
He was like,
okay.
Oh.
And talk about the nostalgia of being back there, being back with the talented cast. I know, like I told you, the cast is incredible. Please, y'all gotta go see this.
The cast.
But what was that feeling like? I'm looking in the hallways. I'm like, is that the room that she played the piano in? Like, was that like?
Pretty incredible. I mean, the building has been a big part of my foundation, obviously in my life, like we discussed and those opportunities. But also as my son, Egypt, he was first starting to play piano. I actually called my original piano teacher, the woman who taught me, and I said, would you work with my son? He's only four, but like he has something that it feels like he's gravitating towards this. She's like, I don't usually do it, but let's see. And she ends up working with him. So for years, since he was four until probably about 8 or 9, he was with the same piano teacher that taught me. So I would take him to the building. That building.
Wow, yeah.
And we would go and do his piano lessons. And when I was there, you know, all the people, tell your mom, I said, oh my God, I'm so excited. No, I haven't seen you in so long. And like, you know, so it would be this beautiful like homecoming all the time, which feels so great. So I feel like I have a beautiful connection there, but obviously this being based in Manhattan Plaza, I mean, it's incredible to go back. So we felt like doing the video for Kaleidoscope, which is one of the new songs written specifically for Hell's Kitchen. It felt right to be there because we talk about the Ellington Room, mm-hmm. which is the place where Allie meets Miss Liza Jane, who's the woman who teaches her about the piano and the craft of it and how she can like grow through it. And it's in the Ellington Room. So going to the real one was really amazing also for the cast too, because they like live in this world we created. And mm-hmm. so to see it is real special. Real special.
Well, if anybody has not seen it, I highly would recommend. And it's being played like it's like an everyday thing, right?
Every day. We got matinee and a matinee on Wednesdays. So there's two shows on Wednesdays. So these guys are doing 8 shows a week. Wow. They are killing it. The vocals are constantly on point. I can't even believe it. They're singing runs that I ain't even never sang. I'm like, they're destructive. So it's every day. It just opened. It's so exciting to see it. It's thrilling. And bring the whole family, because there's nobody that doesn't belong at Hell's Kitchen.
Nah, we appreciate you. And like I said, I think it's dope that you did it, because even though it's not like totally based on your life story, how you're tying in the music, it's just interesting to see. I wonder even at what point did you know, like, you were even, because I'm thinking of Nas. That's the first person I thought about, right?
Did you?
When I'm thinking, like, when I'm watching it, I'm like, I want to see a story that's based upon, you know, Illmatic, mm-hmm. then going to It Was Written,
yeah.
then going to I Am, then Stillmatic. Like, And it's all tying in. It's a story, right? And it's like, I could see a kid in the project hallway, and then he gets money, and now he's in a mansion, he's doing fly, and then he's like, everything like kind of, he has like an awakening. Like, I'm just kind of formulating.
We should write this.
I actually love this because of, I love Nas too, and as an artist, and I feel like, What I love about this particular perspective of Hell's Kitchen and how I could see how that would apply is that you really are seeing the how a person kind of develops before anything of any significance happens to them. Before anything of any significance happens to any of us, there's all these years of like growth and the hard parts. And I feel like that's what you're expressing, like, even if it was an artist like a Nas or an artist like an X, even like I think about that sometimes too. Like, what was it when he was, you know, 6 and 8 and 10 and 12? And so I hear what you mean, why that's so interesting to get into the, what forms a person.
I got the title for it.
What?
Looking Out My Project Window. We're going to use his song.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. It can start when he watches Roxanne Shanté and Molly Mall.
Hey.
Up until that point. Yeah.
That's well, hard. And how can the people get tickets? How can they,
Yes, well, you go to hellskitchen.com for sure. You know, so excited for you to be able to tune into the audience. Hell's Kitchen Broadway is our handle, so you can get into, like, the storyline and introducing yourself to the characters and falling in love with Nuck and Davis and Jersey and Allie and Miss Liza Jane and all of these people from, you know, from the show. So that's the, listen, I'm so glad I wish I could talk to y'all for at least another, you know, at least another 30 minutes. It feels like we got layers to go, but I guess that means we got to do it again.
They gave us the rap. Yeah. So,
well, I appreciate you for being here with us.
And it's a great date night.
It's definitely a great date night.
You go to the Broadway.
You're going to add this.
Chop House. You guys owe me. You go to the play.
Come to
Chop House. And then it's literally a block away.
Yeah. Oh, the Chop House is here. Oh, my gosh. Matter of fact, I need to come here next time before I go to the show.
This is
true.
So I'm going
to
take my niece. She's actually an actress. She does plays.
Yeah.
She's 9 years old, so I'm going to take her to see it. Because yes. I appreciate it.
I have to congratulate you before we go on the exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum.
Oh, my gosh.
And
guys.
There's a quote you said that you wanted to help people normalize the love affair of art.
Mm.
And I feel like you've done it in music. You've done it, obviously, with the Booker Museum, but you've done it again with this. So I want to congratulate you.
Wow. Thank you so much for bringing up Giants. Giants is a big deal for all of us. I'm so excited that we get to be able to have this exhibition of the Dean Collection in the Brooklyn Museum. First place it'll be. It'll definitely tour as well. But again, we get to see ourselves on these walls, these massive, huge walls. And it feels different. It feels different. I don't know if y'all got to see it yet, but it's also a perfect weekend. You do Hell's Kitchen, you do Giants,
map this out.
And you about to like, you good for a minute.
And you use the skincare line to make sure.
Before you go out.
Make sure your glow is right.
Before you go out.
Get your glow popping with Key Soul Care and make sure your soul is intact.
All the above.
Yeah, you have it. Sounds like a good weekend to me.
Yes.
For sure.
You're good for at least a year.
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
Until Act 3.
For sure. Act 3 it is.
Which y'all are going to write. Hey.
Now you're talking.
Leisure's been earned.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Thank you for rocking us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.